Blog Talk Radio.
They all come along like they all to Yahshua. Come along like Eyal to Elohim. Eyal, come along like Eyal to Yeshua, my Savior. Elohim like Big Brah. Come along.
Embrace your soul survival. Embrace of your soul survival. Embrace of your soul survival.
Come
embrace of your soul survival.
Come
embrace of your soul survival.
Where we even have things like sneakers, shirts, even things for your bathroom.
that you can be able to use that would support us in what we're trying to do in the community as well. And also, if you just want to find out what's going on, different things we're doing, whether it's coat dry stuff, other things that I'll talk to you guys about later on, just look for hashtag FindKofi. That's FindKofi. If you're looking for me and you can't find out where I'm at, all you have to do is put in hashtag FindKofi. That being said, though, today is not about me. Today is about our guest. Once again, somebody that I've been watching on YouTube, I'm sorry, on TikTok, excuse me, for a little while now. I think I've actually had conversation briefly for a meeting that we were on maybe some months ago, but have not had a chance to really talk much to her. So this will be our first real conversation, and you guys are privileged to be able to listen to a great woman, a person who's out here advocating for many different issues. I actually know a lot about pop because I'm not really into pop culture, so I actually find it interesting when listening to her to hear some of the things that she says, hey, look at this, listen to this, talk about this, think on this, et cetera. So, but so many different things. We're just going to have conversation, and you guys, as usual, you can just go ahead and listen in. Just to let you know, too, we will get to your call. So if you're somebody who's calling in, you can call in to ask questions at 516-418-5805. Once again, that is 516-418-5805. To call in here at NSF Radio. Also, too, if you are using the link, we have a chat that is open. So I will also check from time to time in the chat. If you have questions, comments, concerns, feel free to put them in the chat, and we will get to you as soon as we can. But all that being said, now my time talking and taking up all of the air by myself is over. Thank you so much for being patient and listening to that long intro. But I want to introduce to you the original Silver Fox. And I think I've been given permission today to use the name L, so I might use that name too. But thank you for being on, and we appreciate you being on Kofi Speaks on NSF Radio. How are you doing today?
I'm good. You're welcome, and I appreciate you asking. When you asked, I was like, yeah, this will be cool.
Yeah, it's great. And I was telling people, as far as this show in particular, that you are the first woman to be on the show. And so I'm excited, you know, to have you. We've been talking about a lot of different issues. And so, you know, I respect your thought process and your opinion and your maturity on a lot of different issues. And so I'm excited to kind of listen, you know, to what you might have to say.
I am too. This is great. And I feel honored. I feel honored to be the first human on here. So I feel good about that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much for being on. I appreciate it. And So I just real quick, if you don't, you know, and I know we didn't really have anything that we said was off limits. Just real quick, do you mind maybe telling us what makes you not necessarily passionate about talking about issues somewhat, but, you know, people use TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Halanas, YouTube, et cetera, for all types of things, right? You know, and some people that might even agree, you know, with what we stand for as far as social justice issues and things like that, still may not necessarily want to say things publicly or maybe put their face to certain things or whatever. What are some of the reasons why you have felt in your personal life and your personal endeavors, walk, et cetera, what made you feel like it was something that was necessary to start, you know, being a public advocate?
A lot of it comes from my background. I come from humble beginnings, and a lot of that was instilled in the way I grew up with my family, especially my mom and her being an educator. My father was an educator too. So it's always about making sure that everyone has a chance and an opportunity to learn. And, you know, that idea of when you know better, do better. As an adult, what really sparked it for me, I'm trained as a domestic violence advocate. I got my degree in women's studies and social behavioral sciences. And my emphasis was on gender studies and domestic violence. I know that sounds strange because people were like, why so specific? But the program that I was in at the college that I went to, it was required that you minored in your major with an emphasis. And so that's basically what I did. And right. I was driven to those concerns because as a person, as a feminist and a person who believes in equality, I believe that equality starts at the barest foundation, and that's usually in the home. And that's where a lot of the issues that come from domestic violence and poverty and all those interpersonal issues a lot of times start at home. And that's one of the things that I find passionate. And so when I speak, whether it's on my website or on my blog or TikTok, it's the things that a lot of people know they need to talk about, but they don't necessarily feel comfortable talking about it. And I know that I have a ability to be able to make things translatable to others. And more often than not, that's all people need to talk. And I'm really big on that. I know you've heard me say this. I'm big on dialogue because open lines of communication are what's the opportunity to help us develop ourselves as well as help other people develop too.
Yeah, and there are so many things I even want to just pick up on what you said. But the last thing that you're second to last thing you were talking about as far as, dialogue. So as somebody, who has training in the areas that you have, it actually, I asked this question to a couple other people, but I feel like you would even be more suited to be able to ask this question or answer this question. Why is it that, and I don't even want to deal just in color, like why is it people in general, why does it seem to be so difficult for us to talk, to dialogue, especially about anything that we deemed to be difficult to deal with? Why is it that we have decided that dialogue, and I might have answered, I hope I didn't answer my own question, but why is it that we deem that when things are hard to talk about, we just decide that they need not to be talked about? And it's not, I find that not just with what we're talking about, All Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, Red, Blue Party, et cetera, it seems to be in general that we, whenever something is difficult, we have just decided we don't talk about it. Why do you think that is?
Well, I'm big on the human condition, and what I've discovered is the human condition is either as strong or as fragile as that individual experiences it to be. And so those who are usually more free to speak may feel some common thread of strength in realizing that those words, because your words have power, your thoughts and your words and your intentions have power. And I believe that people are afraid of being vulnerable, because especially when we come in in many, and I'm not going to say all societies, because you can go across the globe and across time and realize that there are matriarchal societies, but most societies, established societies in the globe now are patriarchal. And there is a big issue with the balance of feminine, masculine, strength, and weakness. And so people translate that all into even something as simple as having conversations. So if you speak about, hey, my feelings are hurt right now, stop being a sissy. Or if a woman says something forcefully, it's like, are you trying to be like a man? But you're removing the purest sense and essence of the human condition, and that's us experiencing life. And so people get afraid. They don't want to talk, because talking means that they have to be honest, that they have to confront their own demons and their own fears. And one of the biggest factors of human survival is to survive. And so anything that causes your survival to go into question is off limits. And more often than not, talking about our problems, talking about our concerns, even talking about our feelings if they're not bad, puts you at risk for being weak. And weakness basically questions your survival techniques. It's a visceral response to survival. People are like, I can't talk to you because you are making me be in a situation that makes me vulnerable, and vulnerable means weak, and weak means death.
I mean, that's very true. Actually, you said something that I've never heard said that bluntly before. You basically said that talking requires honesty. You mind expounding upon it, or expanding rather that thought process?
Yeah, honesty to me really encompasses a person's innate character. Now, that's not to say that somebody who's, quote, a good person or a genuine person can't be dishonest, but I believe that there's a common thread in a person's ability to care in general, to care for themselves and to care for others, and honesty, because being honest, again, is vulnerable. Because you could see, prime example, and it's going to sound awful, but I'm just being honest. You've seen a baby, and I don't care what anybody says. There are some babies that may not be cute to someone else, or they might have a funny nose.
Right.
And people will be like, oh, my gosh, that's the most adorable baby I've ever seen in my life. And that's not really what you meant. It really isn't what you meant.
Right.
You're being dishonest. What you could say is, oh, my gosh, this is such an adorable birthday suit this baby has on. Or look at these baby shoes. So you're not affecting. I mean, I know that sounds bad, but you're not affecting that.
No,
person.
I'm laughing because it's true.
Yeah. You're not harming that child. You're not harming that parent. You see the cuteness in it being a baby, but maybe you don't think that baby's that cute. The baby might not be that cute to you. So why lie? Why set up an environment of not being honest based on the need for what? And see, that's the thing about it. Honesty comes from you being true to a situation in yourself. So by you lying or not or being dishonest to someone else, you created an environment of falsehood, and that doesn't help anybody grow, and it definitely doesn't it doesn't build to your character. So I think just being honest itself is vulnerable, and people don't want to tell the truth because then that means, well, you told me the truth, you hurt my feelings. Well, sometimes people's feelings don't need to be pet stroked. Sometimes people need to hear the truth, and the honesty hurts sometimes.
Yeah, very much so. And what you're saying is honest. Well, obviously what you're saying about honesty rather is honest, but it's very interesting too. And what you're saying, because one of the things, for example, that I learned, I don't remember who this was. It was like some kind of motivational speaker, somebody I was at an event or something, but they said something that rang true. Might've been Tony Robbins. I can't remember, but I was somewhere years ago, and they basically made the point to talk about how even when you're growing up, you don't even think about the fact that I think honesty needs to be developed over time too, or the ability to be honest, or even not to be selfish, because sometimes lying and stuff like that goes with selfishness or, different things like that. For example, he was talking about how, what do we think the most, we'll usually say like, is a baby, who's more selfish, an adult or a baby? And people will be like, well, the adult. And it's like, well, actually, the baby is actually more selfish because the baby has to. Like, the baby cannot do anything within themselves. They can't, you got to feed them. You have to nurture them. You have to teach them. You have to encourage them. They have to have human touch. You know, if they have other things touching them besides humans trying to raise it, they try to do experiments and stuff where the baby cannot exist without somebody doing everything necessary for the baby. Eventually the baby will learn that they're supposed to reciprocate, but in the beginning they're not really designed in a manner to be able to handle doing that. They need constant attention, constant affection, or whatever. And so I found, once he said that, kind of woke me up, because I was like, wow, actually when we look at this stuff, not only that, but as people, adults normally, as if they're not mature, right, or if they don't mature, people are on different levels of maturity, so to speak, we will actually find more so that the less mature you are, the more selfish you are, the more you would lie, the more you would try to protect things, and the more you would, because, like you're saying, so it actually, I don't know if I'm tying these things together well, but what you were saying as far as truth actually makes a lot more sense to me when that statement, speaking rather requires honesty, because honesty is a very mature thing. And if you're not in a place to where you're mature, or you love yourself or certain things there, it actually does become very hard to talk. So that actually makes a whole lot of sense.
And, it's funny, just to expand on that, the idea of selfishness, words are interesting, because even though there are some definitives about words, some people will find a gray area in them. And so just like how you said, there's a selfishness in being an infant, a baby who needs to learn, it's a child has to learn those things. But just like that, a child won't hate unless it learns to. A child isn't inherently racist. A child isn't inherently, misogynistic. So it's a give and take. It's not a one-way street. So here we are in the bare essentials of teaching a child to live and know how, you shouldn't cry now, or this is how you say please and thank you, and you should reciprocate care for each other. And then the same parent, which I know I'm not saying it's the same parent, but I'm just saying in general, the idea is teaching them to be self-sufficient. But then that, in that same method of teaching, you can actually teach a child to break down other people and be hateful and harmful. So it's that weird thing where people find a gray area in human existence, which to me still leads back into people's lack of desire to want to talk about the things that make us human. That's what makes us uncomfortable. Because if you can say, hey, well, you taught that child how to thrive, you also taught that child how to be a bigot. You see what I'm saying? It's like, these are the things that are essential to life, but then you add this icky, nasty thing called hate.
Yeah. And I'm glad I didn't. I was going to interrupt you, but I'm glad I didn't, because you just said something as far as the bigot piece. You know, you can teach your child to be a bigot, which is, I don't understand why people don't comprehend that, but that's, you know, obviously children are learning this stuff from somewhere. But when you talk about that, and I know when I talk about it personally, but I want to kind of hear your perspective. But when I talk about somebody learning something, I think even the reactions, you know, I guess if, you know, like we're dealing with so much stuff where racism is obviously, it's always been there, but, you know, now it's become something that people actually have time to recognize, and social media mm-hmm. platforms have allowed a lot more discussion to happen in different ways, including TikTok. And when you hear the one of the things that I've heard, it kind of just comes in cycles, but one of the things that cycled back recently as far as comments is, you know, I shouldn't have to apologize for anything. And I think people don't even understand when they're making comments, because usually it has nothing to do with what you're even asking about. Like, you'll talk about mm-hmm. reparations, and somebody says, I shouldn't have to apologize. It's like, I don't understand what that even has to do one with the other. Or we'll say, hey,
right.
there were a group of white people that existed before you, and here's what they did, and I don't have to apologize for anything. Why do I have to apologize? It's like, nobody is talking about you. Like, you have nothing.
Right.
But obviously they feel to the bigotry, you know, mm-hmm. obviously, because they wouldn't put themselves with it, even if it's something that they're not fully aware of, it's in their subconscious. Obviously they connect with the bigotry more so than with, hey, we should make sure that we never do the bigotry again. And so, you know, in raising, and you have, you know, you're in a field where, and you have more, you know, specific, education that was more aimed at, you know, this than many of us do as far as, you know, being trained mm-hmm. in this. So what are some things that maybe you find as far as that, as far as, you know, bigotry, or if we want to say, you know, racism, or whatever that we want to call these things, passed down? Like, what are some of the things that you've kind of learned, and maybe common threads that seem to be there for people who are dealing with bigotry, not even just with racism, you know, with what we do with the LGBTQ plus and all that stuff too? What are some mm-hmm. common things that maybe you see?
You know, and I hate to sound like a broken record, a lot of it still comes from fear of the unknown, fear of people questioning your strength and your power. And the reason I mention that, as a domestic violence advocate, in the past, I've actually worked in the clinical setting, not as a clinician myself, but I worked in an emergency room where I had a pager, like old school pager, where if mm-hmm. someone was harmed or something happened to them, they paged me at night, and I'd come in 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever I was on call for. And the biggest thing that I noticed was most of most of the issues came from people not wanting to address an issue, which would put them out of control, would place them out of control. And that's the biggest thing about domestic violence, just like it is with sexual assault. It's about power and control. People think it's about the physical harm. That's not really what domestic violence is about. It's about one person feeling like they have superiority over another person, or that in order for them to be valuable in life, they have to control another person. And see, there's a common thread to that. So when you think about systemic racism, or you think about oppression of any kind, even if you remove race, if you just think about oppression in a system, it's systemic, it's built to oppress people, there is a need for one person to be in control over another person. There's a need for a person to feel superior over another person. And when they don't get that, they have to assert their superiority. So and I know this, and I hate to equate it this way, but this entire time when we've been, a lot of the things that we've experienced politically, and even especially even more so after COVID came, and we've been put into our homes like little jail cells, but they're really not. They are, but they aren't. A lot of the posts that I've seen, commentary I've seen in media, podcasts, is very reminiscent of domestic violence. Everything that people are doing is for the need to be in power and control. And they will beat down whoever they need to. They will say whatever they need to say. They will do all the things that they need to do to make sure that that person, that group, those individuals, that place feels like they are inferior to someone else. That asserts my power. That makes you not be able to question me, which comes back down to the root of all fear. You are afraid of having to confront either your past, just like you said. Remember how you were saying, you know, there's some people who's like, wait a minute, we're talking about reparations. Why are you taking this personal if it wasn't you? When I'm just saying that even though it was someone from your, you know, forefathers or your family members did it from hundreds of years ago, doesn't remove the fact that the damage or the effects have already been felt. And that's the same thing with power and control. And I just feel like racism, racism and other forms of hate and that causes dissension in our society comes from fear. The fear of unknown and a fear of loss of control.
Yeah, very well said. Very well said. Before we go any further, just want to thank everybody for listening in, whether you're listening through the link or whether you called in. If you are somebody who's interested in calling in, our fearless leader, Brother Alfred, is actually helping out today. So if you'd like to be able to call in, he can be able to screen the calls and stuff. And if you're just calling in and you're just calling in to listen, that's fine too. Also, if you'd like to be able to leave something in the chat area, in the chat room, feel free to leave it and we will try to get to your questions. We'll open that up a little later in the show. Also, we want to thank you for joining us. Once again, you're listening to Kofi Speaks on NSF Radio. Our guest today is at the original Silver Fox on TikTok. Please go and follow her there as well, follow her content, and make sure that you help to help her on her goal of making sure that she is an advocate for domestic violence, amongst other things. Also, too, we want to take time out to remind you about different things that are coming up on NSF Radio. So this is not the only radio show that we have on NSF Radio or on Blog Talk Radio, but NSF Radio is a certain brand that we have. We also have King Cam, who has a show on Mondays and Wednesdays called the Midnight Oil, and we think that you'll find that show to be something that's very, very good to listen to, something that will pique your interest. It's a different type of show. We'll let him speak for himself just for a little bit. Hold on one second. Here we go.
What's going on? You're listening to Midnight Oil with King Cam on NSF Radio, where you get music, motivation, and more.
Awesome. And King Cam will be on. He's on Mondays and Wednesdays at 10 o'clock p.m. until 12 a.m. right here on NSF Radio. And he basically gives us music to listen to. He gives us events to talk about. We talk about things. One time he was talking about, how should we deal with relationships, different things like that. He also will give you some history. So it's a nice little thing. You'll get some variants in music. Sometimes some smooth jazz, some old hits, things like that. So it's a very nice thing to listen to. So if you're ever somebody that's like, man, I can't find a radio show that kind of is something I want to listen to, kind of hits all the places, you might actually want to check it out. Once again, King Cam's on Mondays and Wednesdays on NSF Radio from 10 to 12, or 10 p.m., excuse me, to 12 a.m. Also take time out on Thursdays. I co-host the show with our fearless leader, Brother Alfred. It comes on, and we just speak through issues going on. We actually just started a series that we're going to continue where we were speaking on, anger. We had talked about love and talked about when to leave a relationship, some other things. Now we're going to be talking about anger. Last Thursday, 2 days ago on Thursday, we spoke on, we spoke on, the five different ways that we can look at anger. I think we made it through the first two. So feel free to join us throughout the week. Right here on NSF Radio. And let's go ahead and continue. We have, once again, at the original Silver Fox on with us. And if you're interested in calling in, whether you're and if you do have a question, we will try to open up those later on. If I don't see any questions pop up, or we don't have anybody specifically that screen that says they want to ask questions, we will make sure that we read some other questions from other places that we haven't written down for the original Silver Fox. You can call in 516-418-5805. Once again, that's 516-418-5805. And also, too, before we get back into this, sorry about this, I do need to make sure that it's known. If you would like to call in, whether it's about the show, whether it's about gear that you can get from us, whether it's about a thank you gift, or trying to ask questions, or trying to even support what we're doing at nsfatherhood.org, make sure that you just call in to 1-800 1-800-903-2096. Once again, that's 1-800-903-2096, and just follow the prompt, and we'll be able to help you with whatever it is, whether you want to help us with donation, buy some gear, if you're a father that needs help. By the way, even though it is NS Fatherhood, which stands for National Saving Fatherhood, nsfatherhood.org, we also help women as well. So we don't want it to – we are – our focus is fathers. That's what, you know, we're trying to do as a group. However, if you are a woman or child or whatever, you know, in need of help, feel free to give us a call, and we will do as much as we can for you ASAP. So thank you so much for tuning in. Let's go ahead and go back to our conversation, though. We've been talking about so many great things. I heard you say something earlier, Elle. You were talking about you were talking earlier, and you were speaking on different things, and you were talking about, domestic abuse, and you've kind of been – it's kind of been a theme. It kind of reminded me I don't want to assume that you are, but it kind of reminded me of – or I don't want to assume you're familiar with this, but it reminded me of Dr. Joyce DeGroy, kind of PTSS. And the way that you were talking about things, it kind of reminds me of that, you know, PTSS, for those that don't know, a book written by Dr. Joyce DeGroy. It stands for post-traumatic slave syndrome. She based it upon post-traumatic stress disorder, where you have people that go through things and they're affected. Sometimes they can't talk about it, but there's certain things and patterns that happen. And she talked about with post-traumatic slave syndrome, how basically things that white and black people are doing to this day, and everybody in between, are really based on things that we just never had therapy. We never had any kind of counseling. We never talked about it. We never talked about it in-house, across lines. We just basically have been sitting on this powder keg that, is now we can see is erupting. Once again, it kind of erupts and then it goes away and erupts, it goes away. Mm-hmm. Kind of what you would see with somebody who's going through post-traumatic stress disorder. I even am a mm-hmm. former military member. And so I'm aware of how post-traumatic slave. Sorry, guys, I'm getting my stuff mixed up. Post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm familiar mm-hmm. with how that affects things, too, and how I've even had, little dream stuff. You wake up, you're sweating, you're angry, you don't know why. Mm-hmm. Even with past stuff I've had happen in relationships where things went haywire and mm-hmm. actually kind of made me lose my mind because of things that happened to me that shouldn't have happened. Thought that somebody's going to do something. They actually lie on you. They do this, that, whatever. And so, like, you're in one relationship, and if you're not careful, like, I'm married to a great, the most beautiful woman on the planet, I always tell people, but I still sometimes Aww. Would, react. I would react to things she would do just because I automatically right. assumed that, I've seen this before. It's the shadow. There's a scripture I like a lot. A lot of people know it from Psalm 23, but I really like my favorite part of the scripture is, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And the reason I like that is because it's not even talking about the actual physical mountain, so to speak. It's talking about the mm-hmm. the shadow. It's like I mm-hmm. see a shadow, and the shadow can't hurt me, but it looks like something that I came from before. And so because of, like you were talking about, because of fear, I'm automatically there. And that was something that Dr. Joyce DeGroy talks about quite often in her book. And so in many of her lectures, I've listened to her talk so many times, but she makes it a point to talk about that because she says, think about, you've got all of these people, all of these black people who all over the world repeat some of the same stuff. No matter where she went in the world, she would hear people say, "You got to work twice as hard to get half as much." All over in the world where mm-hmm. she went, she said she'd see black people go into hotel rooms. And she said, she did the same thing. She would always clean the hotel room because you're supposed to leave it better than when you found it. Like certain behaviors, right. certain things we had. She said, of course, you got to think about white people, like Willie Lynch syndrome, where you're taught that white people had to be taught that they were powerful based on these things, too. So they have generations where they were miseducated just as much as we were miseducated in order to keep a certain power structure in order. And even to have it last for hundreds of years. So, what you were talking about to me actually sounded a lot like, PTSS, a lot of what, and I guess because both of you are coming from a clinical background, but, I kind of really liked the way you were talking about that from a clinical aspect. We kind of forget that all of these things are basically repeats of the same type of thing, whether we're talking about physical mm-hmm. abuse or the mental abuse, we're really dealing with the same thing.
Yeah, it's I look at them as echoes, ripples, too. That's another way to look at it. Because if you close your eyes and race had nothing to do with it, gender had nothing to do with it, and you inserted post-traumatic slave disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, some other disorders that are caused by trauma, they pretty much bridge from the same place. And one of the things that one of the major tenets when you're dealing with survivors of domestic violence or sexual assault is recognizing that there is a previous pattern many times you can't see, which is the same thing you said about post-traumatic slave disorder. So there's that previous pattern, those tenets that people don't see, and they come from the womb. That's one of the things that they taught us early, was that people don't realize this, that, you know, a colicky baby might not just be colic. It may have been from dissension during the early stages of the being in the womb, or, you know, all these things trickle down. Oh no, he's just, you know, he doesn't sleep well. Well, that could have been some tension in the womb. Mm-hmm. You know, if you eat,
sorry to interrupt you real quick, but yeah. I just want to throw this in, what you just said. I had to learn that with my youngest, because I didn't mm-hmm. realize that at all. And I'd known about colicky and all that, but because I've dealt with that before. But he has sleeping issues and still does. You know, he's not a baby mm-hmm. anymore, but still does, as far as not of being away from mom, right? But I actually had to go mm-hmm. and look up. There's a guy, Dr. Laia Africa. He just passed away not too long ago. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but he does a lot. You know, he's a healer, and so he does a lot of stuff in that area. Mm-hmm. And we had a chance to meet him, and my wife asked him, because she was constantly saying, you know, like, I think that the way that his way of getting here, even though my wife didn't, you know, thank God, didn't have to go through any surgeries or anything like that, but his coming here was a really rough experience, you know, being birthed mm-hmm. for him. All babies go through trauma when we're born, but he, you know, he really mm-hmm. went through a rough experience. And so, you know, she was asking, because of certain things the doctors did, you know, we didn't really want to have it done at the hospital, but kind of just because of the situation we had to, and the way he was treated in the womb, she was asking, you know, hey, is there a reason? Because, you know, he says he has these dreams, he goes with this, and at first maybe we were thinking they were visions, but these are like things that he seems to have experienced, and the way he describes it sounds almost like what he was seeing in the womb, but we can't really tell, and he can't really say it, you know, vocalize it like that, but he's been saying it since he could first talk. So, and they had to teach us, like, yeah, he's, you know, or the Dr. Africa was like, yeah, there's a lot of that, you know, that there was trauma. He was a month early, and so there was prematurity. There was also the fact that they used certain tools that probably they didn't have to use on him. Like, he probably didn't even need to, like, they actually, you know, had, you know, forced the birth to go through a month, and they probably would have been okay. Yeah, yeah. And so, mm-hmm. so just when you said that, like, you know, that's something that's still in us, triggers us, because we actually deal with trauma because of what he deals with today still, because of the fact that the doctors and the nurses did so many different things that were just wrong. We thank God he's healthy and everything, but I mean, it could have mm-hmm. been so many different ways, but he still deals with that even as a child. And so sometimes I find myself, you know, if I'm not careful, trying to treat him like the others and having to realize, wait a minute, like his, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, so to speak, is something that the other children didn't go through, especially not on that level. And I have to remind myself, like, oh yeah, you know, he might be older now. He might be 5 instead of just, you know, a baby, but he's still got issues he's dealing with from even before he was a baby on this side, you know, of the birth experience.
Right. And, you know, that's the interesting thing, because I hate to say this, because I keep saying it and people are like, no, it's not. A lot, everything we do is connected. And think mm-hmm. about it. You eat a bowl of pasta, red sauce. You're allergic to tomatoes, but not enough to go into anaphylaxis. Just enough to give you gas. You know, you just don't feel, your tummy's upset.
Right.
If you eat it again, the same thing's going to happen. If you eat it again, the same thing's going to happen. And then at some point, your body may not be able to fight it, and it may make it worse. You might actually get sick. So over time, in many instances, the longer we deny the trauma, however slight or excessive it was, it's going to build. and it will build. And then it spills over, not into just your daily life, but it can spill into the lives of your loved one and your friends. And then now you have this big festering problem from something that you were allergic to and you may not have known or you did. And I know for me, I'm an advocate of many things. I'm an advocate of people living better lives and being the best versions of themselves. And as a person who has suffered trauma, who has, you know, a mental illness, who has seen and helped people with a myriad of things, I've discovered that, you know, I'm in a position of favor and of privilege when I say that I've had the opportunity over the years, not consistently, but at different pockets of my life, to be able to experience and having therapy. I also had one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life is I had a therapist who I would consider more spiritual than religious. That was one of the things that I appreciated about her, because I have gone to like religious therapy and treatment before, and it was a little too much for me. And then I've gone to some people, I'm like, ooh, you're on another level. I don't know what you're talking about. But this woman was, she helped me. She made this very evident. She was like, I did not change your life. I was merely a conduit. You did all the work. I just helped you put all the connections together. And one of the things that she told me was that your trauma in your life that you've experienced is literally blocking pathways to your healing. And until you figure that out, because that's all based on how the amygdala works. The amygdala is your quick and dirty. That's the part of you that says fight or flight. Fight or flee. I'm ready or I'm not ready. And this is how I'm going to confront it. And one of the things that I had done during those therapy sessions were this thing called the EMDR. And basically what it is it mimics REM sleep in the sense it's not hypnosis. Because a lot, you know, when I
I'm sorry,
can you
repeat that one more? Can you repeat that one more time? You said it mimics.
It mimics REM sleep. So I don't want to say it tricks the brain, but it basically tells the brain to go into a different level of consciousness while you're still conscious, to tap into those parts of the of your brain pathways that help you deal with trauma. Because here's the thing. Everything you experience, your brain never forgets. It only categorizes it in order to make sure that it's valid and relevant for the time to help you either survive or function. Process of the EMDR is to be able to help you get to those connected pieces that may not be at your forefront. So it's not, you're not asleep, you're always awake, you're not hypnotized, but the EMDR will not work unless you want it to. And that's something that, you know, they check you beforehand to make sure you're in the position to do it. And it made a tremendous difference in my life. But I also was willing and wanted to make, you know, I wanted it to work. So the whole purpose of it is to help people deal with post-traumatic stress disorder, acute stress disorder, anxiety, people who suffer, like myself, I'm bipolar too. Those things that can stop you from functioning on a daily, regular basis, we don't realize comes from a deeper rooted area in our brains and in our thought processes on a daily basis that stop us from saying, hey, I can actually live and thrive. And that comes back down to creating fear. And fear stops people from talking, stops people from growing. So it's like this, it's all like this tree that comes from a stem of survival. I'm afraid of this. Uh-huh. I'm afraid of my mental illness. I'm afraid of being attacked when I was 5. I got bit by a dog when I was 8. You know, we had a house fire when I was 15. And you keep just like post-traumatic slave disorder, remember, you keep building on all these events in your life. If you never deal with them, they put you in a different space. And me going through that therapy for as long as I did and experiencing, you know, confronting some of those things makes it easier for me to talk. It wasn't always like this. You know, I wasn't always as put together, you know, like I wasn't always, you know, there were some periods in my life where I just, you know, I struggled. I really did. I, you know, and by no means am I perfect, and you know, the God and the universe is not done with me yet, but the woman that I have developed into being, I'm happy with. I wasn't always that way. But I got to the point where I was tired of being afraid of that part of my life. Those were things that I had to get rid of. And I realized that in order for me to learn, in order for me to grow, in order for me to be the vessel, the conduit for other people, because that's another thing I think people have afraid of. We're so selfish as adults. We learn to be even more selfish than that baby we talked about earlier. Not all people, but a lot of people. We want us to be in control all the time. And so the selfishness that comes in causes us to kind of lose sight of the fact that the world is bigger than us, and it's not just about us. It's about being, you know, an advocate for others and taking care of others and leaving your footprint on the world and leaving it better than when you stepped on it, you know. And I just think sometimes people lose that. And if you're so lost in your trauma and your pain and your hate and your envy and your jealousy and your cynicism, you will not see anything past that.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Once again, you're listening to Kofi Speaks on NSF Radio. And at this point, I don't have much as far as – doesn't look like we have much as far as the callers online with questions. We'll come back. I know, you know, we've got something – we got a 207 may not want to actually be on, might just be listening in. But I'm not sure as far as anybody – as far as callers. But I do have some questions written down and ready to go for you. So I'm going to ask – let's see. Looks like we actually answered a few of these, but we got a couple left. So as far as one question for you, I don't know who it's from, so I apologize. I can't tell. 202. Looks like 202, Eric Hope might have left it. But as far as questions on here for 202, what do you feel as a this is for the original Silver Fox, what do you feel as a black woman when it comes to mental health? So I guess the person's asking, how do you feel that society treats black women with mental health issues?
With a 25-foot pole, because remember, coming from the foundational aspect of black women being a major part of the structure of black families, and that's not necessarily removing black men from the black families, but let's just be honest, from the times of slavery up until, you know, when you look at the prison industrial complex and all the other aspects that have separated black families, we aren't allowed to be weak. We aren't allowed to cry. We aren't allowed to show our emotions. So how dare you have a mental illness? Who are you? What are you talking about? You're depressed. What kind of anxiety do you have right now? Get them babies to school. You know what I'm saying? What are you talking about? You got to sit here and I'll even take it from a standpoint of a woman who's not married with no children and you work in a corporate environment. You have to continue to thrive and live, and I'm still supposed to sit here and be happy to talk to you at my desk? Like right now, I don't want to hear anything you have to say. You know, I see people dying in the streets. I see, you know, families with children right now who are experiencing hunger in a country where they throw food away at the end of the day. You know, I'm a feeler. That hurts. You know, you see stuff like that and you're just like, so I'm supposed to just be normal and I'm not supposed to have anxiety and cry and be uncomfortable. And then there's that thick layer of it when it comes to black women. I'm not saying in general women, because, you know, women, we are mothers. We are carers. We were created to help support and help families and our children and our partners and things thrive. But there's also that understanding that, well, mom can do everything. We can do it. And that's a funny thing, because we're supposed to be the strong, but then our efforts, even when you look at the gender pay gap, our efforts aren't compensated for that. You know, one of the worst things is, I think they call it the feminization of poverty. When I was in school, they were talking about how when women, often when they lose their job, it's even more detrimental, because they're the ones that are usually, not all the time, but typically, especially if they're a single mother or if a widow or something, divorced. Even if the father's still present and they have, you know, partial custody, you know, the woman, if the babies get sick and they're with mom, she can't go to work. You know, if mom has full custody and she's got three kids and there's no one to watch it, she can't go to work. And then the other part about it is with the gender pay gap, you know, for depending, and that's changed, and people argue, you know, white women down to black women, Latino women, Asian women, you know, we're making at minimum as a white woman 77 to 76% on the dollar. You go down to black women, I think it's 64%. And Latino women is like 54, 55%. And forgive me, because those numbers might be off. But when you think about that, here I am, I'm supposed to take care of everything. I'm making way less than I should be, exerting the same amount, if not more energy, because they call it the first, second, and third shift. That's something else we talk about in women's studies. The first shift is when the woman goes to work. And then when she comes home, that's her second shift. She's working for the family. Whether she's married or not, she's taking care of everything. And then now, as we add an additional layer of baby boomers aging, and depending on the family structure, the third shift is taking care of mom and dad. Mom moved in last year because she broke her hip.
Yeah.
Dad has dementia. So she's working three jobs, and she's getting paid 70, 60, or 50% of her full-time job that actually makes her money. So you mean to tell me I can't cry today? You know, my mental illness is important? Mm. So, yeah, I think sometimes black women, women in general, because that's one thing, but black women, you know, mental health is put at a 25-foot pole. Like, hey, we'll talk about it maybe, but is that really your problem? Or are you just being soft? Maybe you can't handle it. Mm. You can't hack it. No, maybe she's depressed. Maybe she does have, you know, suicidal tendencies. Maybe she does have borderline personality disorder or a schizoaffective disorder or bipolar 2, bipolar 1, but no one ever took the time to figure it out. And then even in communities of color in general, two of the worst communities of color are, well, three actually, Native and Indigenous, Black and Asian. When you start talking about those three groups of mental illness, oh, no, what are you talking about? No, we can't talk about that. Forgive us. No, there's no mental illness here. We're all fine, you know? We don't talk about it. And that again, comes from what? Fear. Because if I have to talk about what makes me sad, if I have to talk about what makes me punch him in the face or what made me drink too much, then that means I have to address everything that has caused either trauma or pain in my life, which means now I have to talk about the things that make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, very much so. I'm running out of time, so I apologize for those who I guess we're just not going to have as much stuff as what I wanted to get into or whatever, but, you know, maybe down the road we'll be able to do this again, so who knows. But
yeah.
I also wanted to just chime in on what you're talking about, too, real quick, because, and if you have anything you want to add to this real quick, my wife actually said something to me a while ago, and it was, like, startling to me. She had said it a couple times before, but if I'll be honest, you know, I don't know if it was machismo or whatever, but I'll just be honest, like, I really just probably wasn't feeling it. I don't know if that's exactly what was going on, but I had heard her say it before, but I didn't really, you know, it didn't really sink in. But she said it more recently, maybe in the last year and a half or so, and it, like, finally blew me, you know, maybe as much as it should have blown me before, because she said to me, she, you know, and I think I've heard maybe a couple women say this before, but most women are like, you know, I'm a strong black woman, independent, blah, blah. So I'm thinking, like, yeah, I'm going to say the same thing about it. Why wouldn't you say, yeah, of course our women are strong. Matter of fact, you know, Hebrew is something into a lot of, you know, actually my culture, you know, our name for women, our word for the original woman, strong, is in the title. So it's like, you know, it's part of the root word, rather. So, you know, whenever you say woman or ishat or whatever, you know, there's different versions of it, but basically it all means strong. So I'm thinking, okay, strong, 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 you know, strong black woman. I'm thinking, and she said, like, you know, I don't really actually appreciate always having to be called strong. Like, why do I always have to be the strong one? Like, why can't I be weak? And I was like, and I just kind of looked, and it was like, and so I tried, of course, I should have just listened, but of course I tried to explain, you know, sometimes we should just shut up and listen, but I tried to be like, well, this is what I thought, you know, I mean by strong and blah, blah, and, you know, in our culture, yeah. And she was like, yeah, but, you know, like, why do I always have to be strong? Why can't you be strong? Or why can't I just have a day to do this? Or, you know, like, why can't I, you know, why does that always have to be the adjective that's always being used? And so I actually put it on TikTok before I had to take down, well, not take down, but I had to switch to the second page I had. I actually put up on the first page, I put out you know, we were still getting very good response before the shadow ban. I was like, well, you guys tell me, and, you know, vote and put in the comment section. And I was surprised. A lot of black women were like, yeah, we don't necessarily always want to have to feel strong. Some of them said that outright, they don't want to be called strong at all because because the context for them is what you were talking about, where it's almost like, I'm never allowed to be weak. And so that kind of was like an uppercut to the chin, almost, where like I'd never really thought about that, but, you know, it made sense. But I, you know, I had to get out of my own way, then I had to listen and be a little more empathetic.
Right. And, you know, I've heard that too. I'll say this much. I don't mind being called strong, but I also recognize that the connotation for it could be different for different people. But I do agree with the idea of saying, hey, look, today is not my strong day. Don't dismiss me or minimize my ability to grieve or pout. Shoot, everybody deserves some moment to be able to lick their wounds. And, you know, if the word strong is going to be a synonym for I don't want to hear what you have to say, then no, don't call me strong, because I should always be able to be heard all the time, whether I'm crying or I'm got my black power fist in the air saying I'm woman, hear me roar. You know, I just feel like there's a balance, there's a delicate balance, and if people don't know the difference, then that's why some black women would be like, please don't call me strong, because it's almost like removing their identity from their womanhood. And that is, you know, I always tell people, if you take all the clothes off my back, you take my clothes, my car, everything, the one thing I have is my integrity. And a part of integrity for a woman is her womanhood. You know, you remove that from her, and then it's like you're saying, hey, you know, who are you? I'm telling you how you need to feel and what you need to do. So I could definitely see why some women would say, please don't call them strong.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And thank you so much for everything. Once again, you listen to Kofi Speaks on NSF Radio, and today we are talking to our sister here on TikTok, known as At the Original Silver Fox. Before we get ready to end, I just want to say to her, thank you so much. This has been a pleasure. As I just said, there's so many different things I wanted to actually try and talk to you about intersectionality. I wanted to talk to you about so many different things. I even wanted to talk to you about some stuff as far as television shows and things that I know you've been talking about, and even how that relates to certain things or triggers and stuff. So there was a lot of stuff that I had, but we just didn't have time. So I'll probably look and maybe text you or something that I've got some of your info, and probably see in the future if there's another date that we can set this aside, because this was fun for me. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for being on and blessing us with your presence. You know, maybe we'll even extend the time next time, because I feel like we were almost kind of, now that we kind of got, I think we got a little groove going on where we can kind of go back and forth. Yeah. So, before we leave, is there anything, we got about maybe 2 to 3 minutes, if you want, the floor is yours. Is there anything you want to make sure as far as where people can find you, or anything connected to project-wise, or anything you just want us to kind of walk away with as a thought to, you know, to kind of continue this thought process outside the show? Is there anything that you want to just leave with us?
Yeah, sure. I'll give you my website. It's www.silverfoxjournal, and the fox has two X's. So anytime you hear fox, has got two X's. I'm on Twitter. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram. My Twitter is the Silver Fox with two X's, one. My TikTok, of course, like Kofi said, at the Original Silver Fox. My Instagram is the Silver Fox Journal. Remember, two X's. I do have a podcast called the Silver Fox Journal. I'm on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Pandora, SoundCloud. My host is Spreaker, so if you went to their website, you'd be able to pull me up there. I even have a Tumblr. You'd be surprised. People still use Tumblr. Let you know, I do have a YouTube channel. I'm trying to build all this up, and I will say this: this is kind of like a little teaser. I've revamped the business that I had years ago, and you know, one of the biggest motivators for me to revamp it was actually being during our social distancing, because the way we communicate has shifted. We're doing Zooms, we're doing FaceTimes, we're doing all these meetings, and we are actually able to connect with people and learn from people a way that we haven't been able to do before. So stay tuned. I'm actually posting some stuff. I'm finishing up my website. There's a couple other things I'm trying to do for my new project/business that I started, and I will make sure everybody knows about it. I want to thank you again for allowing me to have a voice, being the first lady on your show. I'm honored, and I would love to come back. You let me know when, and I'm all about, like I said, creating dialogue and making sure that we all have a voice, that we all feel like we have a voice, and that we don't have one yet, we develop one, because we all have some type of purpose in our communities and society. So thank you again for having me.
And thank you for being on. And we appreciate you guys listening in. We are pretty much at the end of the show. I know we have a couple people even saying I have questions, so I apologize. We're not going to be able to get to them this time. But we will make sure if we get off. I've literally just been told I got 60 seconds. So I just wanted to say thank you to everybody. Thanks for being on. Please make sure that you go support the Original Silver Fox. She has a lot of great things to talk about. And, of course, she's about creating dialogue. So go and help her create dialogue. Feel free to ask questions. Go See if you can contact her, and she'll do her best to get back to you. If you're looking for anything that's going on with Kofi Afuti stuff, whether it's here or anywhere else, just look for hashtag Find Kofi. Once again, that's FindKofi. Go ahead and get out your way. As always, I appreciate the King and Queen of each and every one of you. Even if you don't know the father of that kingdom or queendom yet, I appreciate the potential King and Queen of each and every one of you. And as always, this is Pastor Kofi, a.k.a. the Shadow Band One. By being a voice to the voiceless, speaking the unspoken, and until I have the opportunity to do the same again, I want you to remember that you are lost. Wonderfully, wonderfully made, and you, which is all of us working together, will be the reason why this world changes for the better. Shalom.
Come along like Eeyah to Yeshua, my Savior, Elohim like Big Bra. Come along.
Come and rest your soul survival. Come and rest your soul survival. Come and rest your soul survival. Come and rest your soul survival.
Okay, God is up. Okay, God is up.